Hello, this is Deborah Anderson, the Black Woman Animator, coming back to you with another video. And in this video, I have Peter Paul. Welcome.
Hi.
So, can you introduce yourself?
Okay, my name is Peter Paul, or P2. I'm a story artist. I've been in the industry since, this really ages me, since the first Space Jam. That was my first movie. That was my step into the industry, and I got extremely lucky considering I knew nothing about animation when they hired me, and they trained me how to animate, and then I moved on to other things after that.
Cool. So where are you from, and how was it growing up?
I was born in the Philippines. I grew up practically here since I was 11, I think, in California. And I've been here ever since.
How was it growing up in the Philippines and then when you moved to California?
Okay. Well, growing up in the Philippines, it was nice. I hadn't even thought of like any sort of career or job. I mean, when you're a kid, you're just doing whatever. So it's just going to school and then playing and hanging out, usually with my cousins and my brothers. My brothers and my cousins, and that was it. As far as school, I was, my classmates, my friends were just my friends in school. So at home, it's always just with my family, my brothers, and then my cousins. We all kind of lived in this same neighborhood. So, what's interesting about the Philippines, I lived in Manila, which is the main popular city. I'm in an area called Makati, but I remember if there's like a, I guess it's called a typhoon, really bad weather, and it rains really hard, we get flooded a lot. So I remember walking around and the water is like up to my waist because, you know, you're a kid. And but when you're a kid, it's like, yay, no school. Again, you're a kid, so you don't think of like the problems that your parents are having.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, we're flooded. And so like, how are we going to eat? You know, I never thought of it. Boy, I'm a horrible kid. Okay, there were times when you still had to go to school because the flooding is only in your neighborhood, not the actual city. So you still have to go to school. I'm the youngest, by the way, so that's the other problem.
Yeah.
Two brothers. But both my parents work. So I don't know how they dealt with it, but they did it and they never complained to me about it. So I never thought of it as a problem being flooded, but you know, looking back now as an adult, I'm like, oh my God, what a horrible
disastrous
thing. It is. Cause it's the cleanup after the flooding it's a lot of work. So if anybody experienced being flooded, well, I've been through that multiple times. And then also the Philippines, you're in the, I forgot the word, equatorial thing on the planet. So we get hit by earthquakes quite a bit. So I grew up around earthquakes. So going to California was not a big deal. You know, it starts shaking and I'm like, yeah, let me know when it's over because, you know, I got work to do. It's like, you don't think about it.
Yeah.
I'm very conscious about things not being secured. Because before animation, I worked in an engineering company. It's like a humongous worldwide engineering construction firm. And I was a graphic designer, and they were very conscious about securing everything down, like the computers and then the, I think about that and I'm like, okay, that bookcase is not secure.
Right.
I get a little concerned. I don't really say anything. I mean, once in a while I would mention to a producer, like, shouldn't we tie that down over there? I mean, but for the most part, I just keep my mouth shut about it. So yeah, the earthquakes and flooding was a normal thing for me. Yeah, here in California, it's basically Southern California. So like Orange County and LA County, like somewhere in the middle over there. I guess the one unusual thing about my growing up here in the Philippines is I went to six different schools in 7 years, like back, like from sixth grade to college, I was in a different school every single year, and it was normal. I don't remember asking my parents, why are we moving again? Well, I mean, because moving is kind of a traumatic experience.
Yeah.
You know? But it was such a normal thing. And every time I went to a different school, people thought my dad was in the military. I'm like, oh my God, no. I mean, he wished he was. I think my dad wished he was in West Point or something like that. But no, I was never part of that world. No, we moved because, well, I never really asked, but I'm assuming it's because my mom wanted a better place.
How was it making friends?
I'm actually a very shy person. People don't know this because people think I'm very social. I am a social butterfly who's incredibly introverted and shy. I mean, but once you get to know me, you can shut me up. You know, like, shut up. I like people, but I get kind of shy about approaching people, especially when there's a big group.
Yeah. And,
you know, unless you welcome me, I'll just kind of quietly, I'll just sit in a corner here. Like if there's a party, I'm the one sitting in the corner. You know, like, oh, you're talking to me. Oh, hi. Then start talking. But again, I've been very lucky that almost everybody's very welcoming to me. So in every school I went to, I would make new friends. The problem is I would lose them the next year.
Right.
It never occurred to me to keep in touch with people. I like, duh. Just get their phone number or whatever. You know, this is before social media. And they were all very good experiences. And in ninth grade, I actually got my first job in ninth grade. I remember in my art class, my teacher was talking to another teacher, like by the door. And then she pointed to me. I was like, uh-oh. What did I do now? And then, you know, I was told to come up and like, she pointed to me because they were looking for an artist to work on a stage play. To do the backdrop, the props and painting or whatever. And so she pointed to me. So they hired me, the school hired me to to do the painting for the play called Little Abner. Mm-hmm. And then when I finished the backdrop, I guess that's what it's called, I started making props. Like, we had to build a Model T Ford that somebody actually had to sit in.
Mm-hmm.
It had no motor, so we had to push it on stage and then pull it back.
Mm-hmm.
and things like that. And yeah, so I got hired for that. I mean, it was my first real job, not counting mowing people's lawns, you know.
So talking about that, can you go more into your relationship with art and animation in your childhood? Like, did you draw all the time?
Oh, there is no relation at all. this is so sad, but I had no interest in animation whatsoever. I had an interest in it, but I mean, as far as a degree, career,
mm-hmm.
job, I did meet a guy in 10th grade who I consider my best friend in 10th grade, you know, again, mm-hmm. a different school year. And this was in Whittier, California. And he knew he wanted to be in animation. And even that didn't inspire me to become or to work in any. I just started thinking, oh my God, you have to be really good to want to work in animation, or like, I can't imagine working for Disney, because you have to be like the best. That's what I imagined animation was.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
Nothing. I mean, I had no aspirations for a career. All I knew was I could draw.
Mm-hmm.
And I could draw really well. I could draw almost anything. If I had a portfolio, like in college, I sort of did, but it was a mix of portraits. I loved doing portraits. Some superhero drawings. I love comic books. And it's just a mix of pen and ink, colored pencil illustrations, some watercolor, some acrylic paint, and that was it. It was just a whole mix of different media and different styles, and I was totally into graphic design at that time also, as well as illustration. So I looked up to all these different artists, including Drew Struzan, who did a lot of movie poster stuff, and you're like, ooh, I saw some of the storyboards by Spielberg on Raiders of the Lost Ark, and I remember seeing it in a book or something, and I'm like, I can do that, or I would like to do something like that someday, not realizing it's a job. That not realizing that something I could actually do. It was just all seeing things and just wondering, like, can I do that? I remember watching a movie, or I'm the person who sits at the end of a movie looking at all the credits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my family hates it because they've already left. I'm still sitting there going, I'm looking at all the jobs. And going, what's a gaffer? You know, what's that? This is before online, so you can't just look it up really quick.
Right.
You know, you got to go to a library and find a book, like, what's a gaffer? But if you look at, if I see something that says, like, illustration, I'm like, ooh, I wonder what that is. I wonder if I can. I always think about, can I do that? What is it? First, what is it? And second, mm-hmm. can I? But it never occurred to me to take it seriously, to get into that business. It's just something that just stuck in the back of my mind. I was also interested in architecture. I took an architecture class in high school, and I really enjoyed it. I had all this interest with no focus. And I took anything I could find. The only class that I didn't take was animation because I didn't know about it. I've heard of it. The school I went to didn't have any animation related classes. My friend in 10th grade, he ended up again, every year I would lose touch with people, but I totally remember him and his brother and his family because we would hang out quite a bit. He eventually worked at Disney and Pixar and became one of the best story artists in the industry. And his name was Joe Rao. And he did Toy Story, Bug's Life, and I think he did Lion King also, and everything around that. But I did eventually work at Disney. And I remember walking around, I was finishing one show, and so I'm like, oh crap, I need to go find another job, another show to work on. And I was just walking on the floor, and I see an artist that I know. I think he did layout or something. And I asked him, like, hey, do you know anybody looking for artists? And he goes, yeah, go down that hallway. Here they're looking for artists over there. So I walked over there, and I met up with, I'm assuming, the producer. I'm like, I heard you're looking for artists. And it was for the Tigger movie. we are. And then I got work just like that.
Nice.
Easily. But the reason I mentioned that is because that guy hooked me up to Joe. I forgot how the conversation began, but because we were at Disney, you know, he just dialed up Pixar on the phone and like, hey, I'm looking for Joe Ramp. I'm like, oh, that's me. Oh, cool, here. And he handed me the phone. Here's Peter Paul. And he goes, oh my God, I haven't talked to you in a long time. So we finally talked after years of absence.
Yeah.
You know, and he totally remembered me. I was like, oh my God. I had no idea he was working in the industry. I saw his name in the credits, and I was like, is this the same person that I grew up with? And apparently it is.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh my God, you got to come up and meet the wife and the kids. I'm like, oh my God, that would be so great. It never happened because he passed away in a car accident. And so I remember I was working at Universal at that time and going to his memorial service. I was in the airport at LAX and I see a group of artists walking towards the same gate I was going at, like, oh, I know you guys. I'm assuming we're all going to the same memorial service. So it was kind of cool that when we landed in the Bay Area, we were like, hey, we're all going to the same place. Why don't we just rent one car and just hop on
and
go there. And we went to the memorial service, and I made it my duty to, when I went to the memorial service, I went to meet up with his wife and told her, well, the last thing your husband told me was, I have to meet you. So I wanted to meet you. Reversing time again, When I was in graphic design, and after college, sorry, during college, I actually found work as a designer. I didn't have a portfolio or anything. I just went on an interview, and this big guy, his name was Louis Valderrama, he was interviewing me and like asking me about my experience. And I think all I had was a resume. And the interview ended with, when can you start? And I'm just sitting there going, I didn't expect to be accepted. I mean, like tomorrow, I guess, you know. So that design job was a really big learning experience because I knew nothing about graphic design.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is, after a few years, the competition, smaller companies kept coming up, outbidding our company.
Mm-hmm. So
they end up downsizing.
Mm-hmm.
The entire art department was laid off.
Mm.
Like all of us. And that was when I had to make a decision. Like, what am I going to do now? After doing graphic design, which I enjoyed, but I never got to draw anything. It's just always in the computer, like putting stuff together or building things from foam board and, you know, doing displays and whatever. So drawing was the least thing that I did in that job.
Mm-hmm.
So I started thinking, is there a job where all you do is draw? So animation, again, wasn't in the picture because I wasn't aware of what the jobs were in animation. All I know is illustration. And I'm like, I don't want to be a freelance illustrator. I want a regular job where you come in, you know, 9-to-5 kind of thing, but you draw.
Yeah.
And because I wasn't aware of it, the only thing I knew of was comic books. Mm-hmm. So then I decided I will try to be a comic book artist. And then after I started drawing, making my sample portfolio, this is going to be funny to hear, I realized I couldn't draw. because in college, the way they taught us to illustrate was using a lot of references. It wasn't drawing from imagination. So it's kind of hard to draw a comic book and then ask your friends, oh, I need somebody to pose that they're flying. How do you do that? Because you got to set them up on there and like hold that pose. It's like, no, you have to draw from imagination. And then I realized my knowledge of anatomy was really weak.
Mm-hmm. And I
hated my drawings. You know, some my friends would look at it and like, it looks great. No, it looks horrible. I'm not going to turn in a portfolio where it looks mediocre.
Yeah.
You know, the anatomy is just, okay, that is really weak. And, you know, my teachers of art were comic books.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you try to follow an artist, no matter who it is, you're also following their mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So copying comic book artists, I'm also copying their mistakes. And that wasn't good enough for me. So I took anatomy classes at the Guild.
Mm-hmm. A friend
recommended it. And it was at the Guild that I'm like, oh, just 5 minutes into the class, I'm like, oh my God, there's so much I need to learn. After a year, or during my first year in the class, I mean the Guild, taking classes, I took whatever I could take. Layout, storyboarding, as many anatomy life drawing classes as I could take. So it was then that Warner Brothers came in and started recruiting, like, hey, we need artists. Mm-hmm. So submit your portfolios. And the person that came over recruiting gave us tips on what to put in a portfolio and things like that. And I didn't feel ready the first time they did it, so I didn't apply.
Mm-hmm.
I think a few months later, maybe about 6 months later, they came back like, we are recruiting again. So submit your portfolios. By that point, because I was laid off at that company, the construction engineering company, my unemployment was running out.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, I better get a job. Like, mm-hmm. Well, they're hiring, so I better put my portfolio together. And so I put it together, and in the back of my mind, you know, there's this tremendous pressure of, oh my God, I am competing with people who are already in the industry, who are looking for work. I'm competing with people who studied animation, because mm-hmm. I get some of the people who are applying for the same job. And I know nothing about animation other than I'm studying at the Animation Guild, but I still knew nothing about it. But so the one thing that I told myself was, well, there is one thing I can do, and that's what I'm going to focus on. I'm a graphic designer. I know how mm-hmm. to put the patient together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's how I'm going to stand out, because I have no animation experience. So I will use what experience I have to get their attention. So I actually went to Warner Brothers. I drove over there and asked, can I see a sample portfolio? And I checked out. Unfortunately, the portfolio they gave me was more of a visual development portfolio, not for storyboarding or anything. So it's all like beautiful paintings. I'm like, okay, this isn't really helping. But, yeah, I love the way it was put together. So I just left with that. And again, this is back when there were physical portfolios, you know, it's not online.
Right.
And it's such a difference today, applying for work compared to back then, because I had to create, I mean, after that moment, once I was in the industry, I had to create three portfolios exactly the same. Mm-hmm. So I could go to three different studios at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first time I did it was, you make one portfolio and then you're like, now you have to wait for them to be finished with it before you can apply for another job. You know, that's when I thought of like, I need to make more. I can't just keep waiting for them. Anyway, so I put together my portfolio and I actually even helped all my friends, I mean, all of them, on how to put their portfolios together, because none of them knew how to do it properly. So I had to teach them how to do it. Yeah, I was helping my friends. We're all competing for the same job, but I was helping them with their portfolio and their resume, and we're all applying for the same jobs. That's the funny thing about this industry. You are competing with your friends.
Uh-huh.
And fortunately, most people are helpful enough that if there's a gig coming up, like, hey, they're looking for people on this job, you know, go apply there. So mm-hmm. I do that quite a bit, especially for my students. We have this group chat thing where if I hear of a job, like, here, apply for this if you think you're ready.
Yeah.
That. Anyway, so that I turned in my portfolio and I wasn't expecting anything. I was hoping for something because my unemployment was running out, and then I get a phone call, and again it was like early in the morning, so it wasn't registering to me that I got the job, because I got a phone call like something like, hey, you're in, and then my response was, oh, okay, because I was barely awake, and then I hung up, and I'm like, oh my god, I got the job. It took a bit to register, like, oh, I got in.
Yeah. So
that was my first animation job, and it was Space Jam.
Nice.
And because I had zero experience, which I did put in my cover letter, I know nothing about animation. I mean, I was so, might as well, I can't fake it. Mm-hmm. So I just tell them up front, I know nothing. The only thing I know about animation is I watch Saturday morning cartoons or after school cartoons. You know, you go, come home from school and watch cartoons on TV, and that was it. I didn't know anything else. So it didn't matter to them. They liked my portfolio. And then I kind of learned on the job, basically. Almost everything I did, I learned on the job, including storyboarding. I mean, I took storyboarding classes at the Guild, but at the same time, there were basic classes. But I was fortunate enough to get hired from my portfolio samples, that they liked it. So I ended up getting work from that. And then I basically learned on the job. It's like there's all these new things that nobody ever teaches you, and you just learn from doing, and then you learn from other people in the room. Like if you pay attention to the discussion and things like that, of like when work has been assigned to each artist, you're like, oh, how do you do that? And or there's questions in your work where, okay, I don't understand this. And then you go to your, well, what I did was I went to the other story artists, and I asked them, like, hey, this is my first time in the job. I don't know what I'm doing. And fortunately, the artists that I'm with were so generous with their time. This lady that I met, she's a story artist, or two of them actually. They were both so helpful and like, oh, don't worry. I actually teach storyboarding, so ask me anything. So that they were both very helpful. And so yeah, that's how I would say that's where I learned, was from work. They hired 12 people and they trained us on how to animate and how to do animation cleanup. So we were part of the animation cleanup crew in Space Jam. Mm-hmm. And we were like the backup team, you might say, or the most of the characters I worked on were the Monstars, the bad guys, which was a lot more fun to draw than the main characters. Mm-hmm. Like, I had a horrible time drawing Bugs Bunny. I love Bugs Bunny, but his whiskers are a pain to draw because it had to be perfect.
Yeah.
Thing about traditional animation as opposed to CG, that pencil drawing is the actual drawing you see on the big screen.
Right.
So if it's a main character, I think we call it the A characters, like Bugs and Elmer, your line work had to be perfect. The monsters being the bad guys, you can be rougher and loose, because it makes them more, you know, frightening. So they were a lot more fun to draw because you don't have to be so perfect about it. But Bugs Bunny, I had to redraw the same thing because I would draw the whole face first, do the whiskers last, but because the line had to be a perfect curve, I could not do it perfectly. And if you erase on that paper, it creates a rougher surface that it's hard to draw over it and have a perfect line because now it's messed up. So what do I have to do? I have to redraw the entire thing again and to try to make it perfect. I figured out the best way to do that was to get a French curve, if you know what that is. It's a ruler, but with curves. And that's how I made the perfect curve. French curve. So I unfortunately had a horrible time with Bugs Bunny, but the monsters were great. And so that was my first movie, and it was a really good experience. And I remember seeing my name on the credits for the very first time, and I have to admit my eyes were watering. I was kind of crying when I saw my name. Like, I never imagined that would happen. And I just remember seeing the theater all the time, watching the credits, wondering what the heck those jobs are.
Yeah.
You know, never realizing or thinking I will be one of them.
Yeah.
It wasn't a goal. It was just, I was just questioning, what is that? What are those job titles? I didn't know where to look it up. I didn't know what book to look for. There's so many things that was hard to get access to before the internet.
So can we get a little bit into some of your favorite customs and traditions from your culture?
The food. The one thing I always bring up from my culture is the food, because it's really good and it's bad for you. My doctor even told me one time, avoid Filipino food because it's bad for your heart. Good to know. Because a lot of it is greasy and fried, and or just has, it's just too sweet. But I don't have it often, but when I do, I love it. I'm not a connoisseur. I don't know who has the best whatever. I like almost anything, even if it's relatively like not that great. I'm not picky. It's food. You know? It's kind of sad, but that's about the most thing about my culture that I like to talk about.
So this is the part where I just list several of the projects that you've worked on. I'm not going to list everyone, but I'm going to list some. So you already mentioned Space Jam, Quest for Camelot, Tigger Movie, Clerks the Animated Series, Mission Hill, Fillmore, Piglet's Big Movie, Mulan 2, Lilo and Stitch 2, American Dragon, Jake Long, Curious George, Phineas and Ferb, Tinkerbell and the Lost Treasure, Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Squeakquel, Hop, a lot of dragons stuff, Ugly Dolls, Green Eggs and Ham, Bob's Burgers Movie, Duncanville. So what do you feel were the biggest breakthroughs in your career?
Working on a live action animated film is one of one of my biggest breakthrough, I think. The first one was Garfield 2, but that was very limited because I just sat in a room. It wasn't even an artist desk. It was just a normal desk, and I had to work on a light box that was very loud. I don't know if you're familiar with light boxes that are loud, where I had to lean on it to keep it from being loud. Mm. Lean my arm on it so it doesn't like hum so loudly. Mm-hmm. Light. And it was annoying. And I was in the room with the director. And that was it. We were the only ones in that room. And it was not easy because the supplies were limited. You know, I had a pencil and paper, and it wasn't a comfortable chair and table to work on. But the next movie that was live action and animated, I think to this day I would count it as one of my favorite productions I ever worked on, because I got to work on location. You're not stuck in a studio, and we had to go where the director, when they started filming, we had to be where the director was, because they had to approve our drawings first. So we had to be on location. And the first time our studio was on Sunset Boulevard on Gower. And the first day of filming was in a penthouse across from the Staples Center, in the top floor. And it was 5:30 on a Friday night. And my producer says, "Oh, you have to bring this to the director." And I'm like, "Where is he?" "He's in by the Staples Center in a penthouse." "But it's 5:30. I'm like, I didn't say anything, but in my mind, like, it's 5:30 in LA. I don't want to drive in that rush hour traffic to Staples Center. I'm like, I was scared. I'm like, I don't want to do that. But in that same second, she said, "Oh, Chris, our PA is going to drive you there." "Oh, thank God." Thank you, Chris. To this day, I will thank him for driving me there. And we get to the location, and it took an hour to find him. Because we had to go to the base. We call it base, where all the trailers are. And we had to go up to the top floor, the penthouse of this high-rise building, and walk through narrow hallways filled with lighting equipment and recording and cables, and you're trying not to trip over them, trying not to bump into any lights and whatever. And because there's people standing there too. And it took a while to find him. And when we finally did, the reason I'm bringing up all this long story on finding him, I showed him my work. And in just once, half a second, looking at my work, he goes, "Oh, this is wrong." I'm like, it took 2 hours to get to him, for him to go, like, in less than a second, go, "Oh, this is wrong." And I just stood there going, "Now what?"
Right.
And then he said, like, "Oh, it has nothing to do with you. We changed the script." "Oh, okay." So because of that day, the producer realized this isn't practical for us to be working in the studio while they're filming on location, because we need to have direct communication with the director. So they decided the following week, "You guys need to be on location." So wherever the director is, that's where you have to be. So we have to get us trailers but you know, one trailer for all this artist, mm-hmm. not the person. We're not actors. And I was so happy. But none of the board artists were. They were on being on location. I was happy because the first location we had to go to was in Long Beach. So if you know where mm-hmm. that is, I lived close to Long Beach at that time. So mm-hmm. I didn't have a problem with it. Everybody else was living in Hollywood or LA. So it was a hell of a drive for them to go to Long Beach.
Yeah.
No, I'm good. And we shot on location in a high school, an actual high school where the school was still happening. And so we had to be quiet. We were kind of scolded because we were running down the hallway. Mm-hmm. like kids, we were running down the hallway and we were like, no running. Like, oh, sorry. Forgot we're in a high school. A real yeah. high school, because there were classes still happening. So it was a great experience. We had to shoot in Long Beach for 2 weeks, downtown LA, in Chinatown, the night shift. I volunteered for the night shift because I'm a night person. Mm-hmm. so if you're working in live action, the schedule is 12-hour days.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a night shift, it's 7 in the evening to 7 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
which is the perfect time for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in Chinatown, and it was really cold and misty. Like, there was, like, fog or whatever, and the ground was wet. It wasn't raining, but it was very misty. So mm-hmm. We were all, like, bundled up. It was kind of really cold, but we were shooting. And it was a hell of an experience. I love working in live action.
Mm-hmm.
And I love all this going on location. We shot at Universal Studios with an actual eagle, no, or a vulture who hated men. I don't know if she hated men, but she gets distracted by men.
Mm-hmm.
The bird. That we had to hide from the view of the bird because the bird gets distracted.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to, the trainer had to have the bird react to something that isn't there because that's where the chipmunks were going to be
in front of
the bird. So they were training, the trainer was telling the bird, like, go after, you know, whatever, but there's nothing there. So it's all pretend.
Mm-hmm.
So while they were shooting that, I had to hide behind walls and trees so that the bird wouldn't see me, and all the men were doing the same thing.
So can you tell me about how, when, and why did you learn how to draw upside down?
Wow, when did you learn this?
I did my research.
Okay. That's really funny because I did that yesterday at the AAA. I learned, this is embarrassing. I learned that in college. I think it's called the union where people sit there and watch TV and hang mm-hmm. out, you know, in school. And I would be sitting in a corner, and literally in a corner, just drawing, probably doing my homework for a class. Mm-hmm. And people will walk by and going, oh, what's that? And it happened too often that I had to keep turning the paper around so they could see mm-hmm. it. And then I'd go back and draw. That's how I learned how to draw upside down, because practicality. And as an artist, most of us can look at things upside down because that's how our brains work as artists. Mm-hmm. Tired of around. So I can write upside down, I can read upside down, I can draw upside down. It's, you know, it's not perfect, but it's good enough for what I needed to do.
So what do you think is the key to your ability to like mimic other artists' styles when doing storyboard revisions?
Oh, that. Wow, that's, I don't know how to answer that other than I've always been really good at copying styles.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been interested in other styles also. Maybe that has something to do with it.
Maybe the, all that, because you mentioned how like you had to take all these anatomy classes because all you knew how to do was copy, but then it became beneficial that you knew how to copy.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I have, my interest is I like so many different things that after a while I kind of lost myself first drawing, because I remember being asked, draw something in your own style, and it kind of put me back going, I don't even know what my style is anymore. I'm so used to copying other styles.
Mm-hmm.
So when a story artist is told to do revisions, and storyboarding is about reboarding and reboarding, so it's constantly revising things. And it's not just your own work, but sometimes you have to revise other people's work as well.
Yeah.
And it bugs me really early on in my career as a story artist that when I look at the animatic, a few times I'm told to go to the editorial room with the editor, because the editor will tell me what I need to change and things like that. And then they would play it on the big screen. And I would see the other artists putting their fixes on an existing board, and the style is completely different, and it pops.
Yeah. And,
oh my God, that's so distracting, because now you're looking at the new fix.
Yeah.
It always bugged me. I never said anything, but it just bugged me visually. I never asked the director and editor, like, doesn't that bug you? So I made it a point that every time I fix any boards, whether it's my own boards or somebody else's, I will follow the style of what that board is.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so good at it that nobody could tell that I did anything. And that was the point. If you don't see my work, that means I did it correctly, because now you're only seeing the original artist's work on this in editorial, in the animatic, because it's like I will follow the same thickness of the line work. If they're shading, I will follow the shading. And this is before digital. On Mulan 2, everything was still done on paper. I would even ask the original artist, like, what kind of pencil did you use? Or I would look at the piece of paper that they use, because sometimes we use different papers to our storyboards, and I would use something as close as possible to what they have. And then my production coordinator would make copies of our work and give it to us, you know, for our files, for our portfolio. That rarely happened in any show. Like, they would, like, oh, what did you work on? And then they'll make copies of it. Like, oh my God, that's amazing. A lot of times when you do work, you forget to make a copy of your own work. And when you're finished with the show, I don't have anything for my portfolio. I've already left the studio. You know, it's kind of like, can you look up my work? And like, how do you do that? You know, we don't keep track of the sequences that we worked on. So it's really hard to ask people to look for your work unless you're, you know, specifically. Anyway, the production people had a hard time finding my work because they couldn't tell the difference between my revisions and the original artist's work. That they physically come to me and going, okay, which one did you do? And I have to admit, even I couldn't answer them. Like, I don't know which one I did. I know I worked in this sequence, but I don't remember what I did exactly, because, you know, a lot of it comes back to you like multiple times that you forget exactly what you worked on. Like, I worked on a lot of that stuff, but I don't know specifically which one. So even digitally, the same thing. I would follow the on Dragons at DreamWorks. I remember another artist would do fix on boards, and his style was so thick, his line work was so thick, and it totally pops to what he was fixing. I'm going, that is so annoying. You're watching in the animatic, it's just like, I always try to follow the style. I was just really good at it, and so I don't know how or why. I was just very good at imitating things.
What are your thoughts on getting more content with Filipino characters in TVs and movies?
I don't know. I
did you watch Float?
No. Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. I had the toy, but I haven't seen it. Is it on Disney Plus?
I think so, and it's a short, so it should be quick.
Is it? I don't even have Disney Plus.
Oh.
So
you have to like go over a friend's house and watch it.
Well, that's the thing. I have to go to a friend's house to watch Disney Plus. And so I'm so behind right now on like what's Disney Plus. You know, my friends are talking about it online and like, oh, can we talk about it? It's just, well, I don't care. I'm so behind right now. You know, spoiler alert, I really don't care. It's like, you know, it's not going to kill me if I know what happened. So there's so much I'm so behind on because I don't have Disney Plus. So I'm so sorry that I haven't seen the quote yet. But I wanted to approach one of the directors who I did work for a year ago. He did a Filipino series for Netflix called
Trust, T-R-S-E.
I wanted to work on that, but it was already done, and but I did get to work with the director on a different series for Netflix, which isn't out yet. I wanted to be part of that because the story was, I think, in a Filipino story in the Philippines, that he made it into an animated series, and I only learned about it, you know, like while it was in production or close to the end of the production, that I'm like, oh, I missed out on that.
Yeah.
I completely missed out on that, and I also wanted to work on like something that's more adventure. Most of the shows I worked on are rated G shows. And that show Trece is rated gore. It's a vampire thing, and blood and guts and adventure, and the style is more realistic, and I actually enjoy drawing more realistic than more stylized. Plus, I most of the shows I've worked on is stylized, So I never, I like to draw anatomy, like the way it should be.
Yeah.
You know, instead of like super skinny figures.
Yeah.
Like really fat arms, like in The Simpsons. Not that I wrote The Simpsons, but, you know, stuff like that. I actually have a show coming up, assuming next year, for Netflix called Twilight of the Goblin. Jay Oliva and Zack Snyder. So I really enjoyed working on it, and I didn't do any too much of the bloody sequences, you know, the cutting heads and or drawing blood, but I got a little bit of that, and it was kind of fun because I never got to do anything action oriented. I didn't realize how much I enjoyed doing that and to draw more realistic, and it was also very intimidating because the artists on that show are top notch. They were just and to see their work, I was like, oh my god, I need to level up. And I remember doing a sequence that had a ton of horses, and I'm like, oh crap, I forgot how to draw horses. And I worked on the movie Spirit, the original one at DreamWorks, so I had to draw a horse a lot, but it's been a while. So if you go to my Instagram, you'll see me do a horse study, because I'm like, oh my god, I need to stop working, start learning how to draw horses just for a day, and then go back to working, just to, because I want my work to look as good as everybody else's, because I mean, it's amazing. So but that's about it. Another season, I would love to be considered working on that old Filipino character show, and then the casting are also Filipino actors, if I'm correct. And so I wouldn't mind being part of that. I did a Filipino thing for a friend of mine at Disney. I think they were allowed to pitch stories and ideas. And so while she was there, she asked me to do something about Filipino, what do you call this, family. It was a family-related story. And so I did the artwork for her pitch.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't get accepted, but that was the closest I got to doing something close to a Filipino culture, because it's all about, I think it's about, we have this tradition in the Philippines, where when you meet an elderly, out of respect, you grab their hand and you put their hand on your forehead, you know, kind of like, we called it mano, I believe. And it's just grab your hand, and it just show respect. And I think that's the premise of the story that she created. She's actually in the Philippines right now. But that was the closest I got to doing something with Filipino culture in it, in a story. And it was fun to draw, but again, you know, if she decides to revive it, and you know, she knows I'm always available for her on that. That's about the only Filipino thing I can think of. That was Trece and my friend's project. So, I wouldn't mind somebody doing some, because I think Pixar did a short, somebody at Pixar did a short on Bao, which is a Chinese thing. So maybe somebody will do something with Philippine, because, you know, I mentioned earlier, I love food. So, we have really unique food that it's like the moment you see it, you know it's Filipino food. Mm-hmm. One is called lumpia. Mm-hmm. It's the egg roll. And the other is ube, which is a dessert. Mm-hmm. And it totally stands out because no other country I know has it, as far as I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. And it's purple. it's basically purple yam. Mm-hmm. But we use it for almost anything. It's famous for desserts, mainly. Mm-hmm. And not mainly, but more popularly known as a dessert, but I've seen people use it to make bread and now there's a lot of fusion into other foods. I haven't mm-hmm. tried it yet, where it's part of like an actual meal. I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird, but still sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
So I'm more familiar with it as a dessert, but it would be kind of interesting if somebody came up with a story that focused on food.
Yeah.
I made a fan art about ube one time because I used to do a lot of fan art. Mm-hmm. Kind of taking a break from that, but I hope this story is true. So because it's based on an article I read, but I'm sure you're aware who Thanos is, correct?
Yes.
Okay, the very last scene in Avengers Infinity War is Thanos sitting in some sort of hut, mm-hmm. looking out in this beautiful field of, you know, nature. That was shot in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of amazing to find out, like, you mean they flew out there, recorded this view of the Philippines, a mountainous, beautiful area, just for that ending shot.
Mm-hmm.
And you barely see Thanos because he's inside this hut,
mm-hmm.
just looking out in, you know, his retirement home, basically. And then somebody made a joke based on the, you know, on the comments in the article that I read that, well, you know, Thanos is purple, so he's ube. So I made a fan art of Thanos holding ube because mm-hmm. he's purple because he eats a lot of ube. So that's as close I have to like a Filipino thing.
Yeah.
Fan art. I'm supposed to do one of. I do a lot of fan art of Lilo and Stitch.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a friend who keeps pushing me into, because I do mashups of Lilo and Stitch, and she keeps pushing me into doing Lilo and Stitch in Filipino attire.
Mm-hmm.
And I already roughed it up, but I never got a chance to finish it or put it into completion. So someday in my list of things to do, that's somewhere in number 11. I have so many other things to do that I actually owe people.
So my last question is, if someone was producing a documentary about you, what things would you want them to highlight about your life outside of your work in animation?
Outside my work? My toys. I don't know if I can move this. Hang on. So if you look back there, you can see Thor's hammer. That Pacific Rim Jaeger is signed by Guillermo del Toro.
Nice.
I have two of them that he signed. That Storm is... I don't know if you're familiar with Alexandra Shipp. She's she's the second actress to play Storm after Halle Berry.
Mm-hmm.
In the less popular X-Men series. But hey, you know, you're an actor, you're hired to do a job, and that's it. we can't be responsible for the movie.
Right.
For my Statue of Storm, which is similar to that,
mm-hmm.
when she got the part, I met her on Alvin the Chipmunks, and we have been friends ever since.
Nice.
So when she got the part as Storm, I didn't tell her, but I gave her my statue, you know, to congratulate her. So I bought that recently this year because I missed that statue.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a while. I need to get my own, the new Batman cowl from the Robert Pattinson thing. And then I have a whole shelf of Batmobiles over there. And then there's a statue in Space Jam. But anyway, so yeah, I'm kind of got a ton of that stuff. So I have a lot of little things like that, that it's somewhat related to some event or person.
So where can people follow you on social media?
Adventures of P2 on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
Can you tell people where they can find your class if they want to take your storyboarding class?
Just go to any of my social media because I'll post it there. It's Society of Illustrators LA, but it's easier if you just go to my site, social media, because the classes are always listed
mm-hmm.
there. Yeah, and I have so many upcoming events this month, so definitely try to follow there. And I'm hoping to meet you again next weekend.
At Gallery Nucleus.
Because it's another CAA event. It's not only a gallery show, it's a drink and draw event as well.
Okay.
So people are encouraged to bring their sketchbooks. And the theme for that weekend is a sci-fi theme. So I have a piece that will be on display. I am so honored to be asked. Oh, this is actually kind of Filipino related. not kind of, it is Filipino related. The character is Filipino.
Or nice.
Filipino.
So so when this video comes out, today is Wednesday, so you still have a chance if you're in LA to go on Saturday to this event.
I hope to see you there as well, because it'll be, what, 2-ish years since I've seen you?
Yes.
So it would be great to see you there and everybody else that I met that evening, because mm-hmm. I love that picture that we took. You know,
me, you, Kevin Palmer, and Chase Conley.
Yeah, I'm the short guy. You're also tall, and I'm the tiny guy on the left. That's me.
And I would like to thank you for allowing me to highlight you.
Oh, thank you.
So to everyone out there, I want you to like so I know it's real. Comment and tell me how you feel. Subscribe to Seal the Deal and sign up for post notifications to show your zeal. And I'll see you in the next video.
All right. Thank you.